Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, quickly, some breaking news in the NFL. I don't think this is a huge surprise. But Ian Rappaport putting it out there that the Saints are going to be signing Tyrann Mathieu. So that's kind of been in the works for a while now. He had a visit with the Saints a few weeks ago, and now that the draft is over, looks like Tyrann Mathieu going to end up with the Saints. That could be finalized and announced in the coming days, according to Rappaport. No details in terms of what the money looks like, but looks like Tyrann Mathieu going back to his hometown and will be playing for the New Orleans Saints. So not a huge surprise there.
Yep. That's a good signing. You know, one thing that brings to mind is, like, I don't know if you have, but, like, I still haven't, like, really gone through, like, every team's draft and gotten a great sense for, you know, like, I've read some coverage, our coverage at The Athletic of, you know, winners and losers and things like that. By the way, Lindsey Jones had the Titans among the losers section, but and the quarterbacks too, as a whole. But I still, like, there's so much to. In fact, I think I'll pull that up. And not that I'm going to ignore you during the show, but maybe I can do some reading between wonderful takes.
You'll just zone out. It's okay.
Yeah, I zone out on the regular.
Ignoring me in the show is a regular everyday occurrence here on Robbie and Rex. So let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Liam texting in says, the preseason is going to be fascinating to see what Willis has to offer. If he isn't lost out there, I hope we have a quick hook on Tannehill to start the season. With a healthy Derrick Henry and solid defense, I'd rather take some lumps with Willis and maybe even get a high pick for next year to get a jump on the future. And I'm waiting for Joe's incredulous reaction to writing off next season already. This coming from Liam on the text line.
My God, Liam, please don't do this. Liam, you have a lot of reasonable, good conversation. No, you're not putting Malik Willis in early next year and then said, hey, what if we go 3-14 and get the number one pick, everybody? You're not, come on. Are you joking? You're joking, right?
To Liam's point, I am way more interested in the Titans preseason now than I was before. Infinitely more interested in the Titans preseason.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read from my Athletic piece today. Just as I was reading from Jared's, text. This is my lead today on my piece in the Titans. One thing about the 2022 Titans and their draft that no one's talking about is how much it has enhanced their preseason games outlook.
No, yeah.
I mean, I want to watch their preseason games now. I never want to watch preseason football. Preseason football is terrible. And, you know, the only thing about it that's good is this rookie or that rookie that you get to see a little bit, but even in a lot increasingly, like Treylon Burks, for example. I mean, he's going to get reps in the preseason.
Yep.
But is he going to get a ton of reps? I bet you he doesn't, because I bet you Vrabel's like, I'm not getting Treylon Burks hurt, you know, against the freaking Bengals or whatever in a preseason game. But Malik Willis is, I would assume, we're going to see basically Malik Willis and Logan Woodside splitting games. And I am totally here for it, just to watch what that looks like. So the Titans have absolutely increased their preseason outlook in terms of the actual preseason.
What did you make of them taking Malik Willis? Because obviously I don't think any of us expected Willis to slide as far as he did. He's available there in the third round. The Titans move up a few picks to go get him. As you said, and as Corey pointed out, the reaction in the room when they got him was – they're pretty excited to get Malik Willis. What did you think of that decision by the Titans to grab Malik Willis where they did?
I mean, remember, when they came back up a couple times after making the whole trade, it was like, Malik Willis is there.
I know.
Also, Desmond Ridder is there. Look, I agree with Corey. I mean, I look at it like, as soon as you made the AJ trade, and some Titans fans hate this and want to be mad at me, that's fine. You pivoted from this be as good as possible around Tannehill. You just did. I mean, you and for whatever reason, whose fault, whose credit, that's what happened. So it just changed things. And you can make a case, you know, at that pick or staying at 90 and getting somebody else, you know, that's more of an instant help. But honestly, after the AJ Brown trade happened, to me, I don't mind it at all. I mean, it's a potential new era that you've picked up for at a fantastic value. And if a guy is, he was a first slash second round grade, but that's just like all the quarterbacks in this class. So you get him at 86. I mean, and he does have elite traits, or whatever you want to call it. He has special traits. The arm and the athleticism are tremendous.
Yeah.
Now, again, most first-round quarterbacks are busts. They're just flat-out busts. Most first-round quarterbacks don't work out. I don't have a percentage, but it's most, and it's by a pretty long shot. Work out in the sense of if you take a quarterback that high, you're not just hoping to have a placeholder starter. You're hoping to find someone to be really good to great, right? So if someone's taking an 86, like, you have to keep in your mind, like, there's a really good chance here that Malik Willis doesn't figure it out, doesn't become a really good starter in the NFL. I mean, that's why people are hesitant with him, because, I mean, the guy took 51 sacks last year, okay? Think about that. He played at Liberty. Think of the competition. Think of the decision-making that goes into that. Think of the work that's required to fix a lot of things. And, again, you could put together the most tremendous, amazing, like, huddle. You know, like, high school prospects put together their little huddle films for recruiters. You put that together from Malik Willis out of college, it's amazing. His arm talent and some of the throws he makes and plays he makes, whoa. And you could put together one that would make you think, how could this guy even be the quarterback for any team? I mean, like seriously, like, it's that extreme.
Joe Milton.
He runs
way better than Joe Milton does, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be fascinating, but I don't hate it at all. I think that you already kind of signified that you're kind of looking beyond now. Not that you aren't trying to compete, not that you aren't trying to win. You're trying to win the division. You're trying to get in the tournament, make a run next year. And I'm not saying that's impossible, but a lot of things have to go your way, and a lot of unknowns have to work out for you. And I worry probably most, other than the absence of A.J. Brown, I think the offensive line still is really, really a question mark. And if that's not good, what does that mean for Tannehill? But you still could be very good next year. But this was a pivot to thinking beyond that. And as a fan, I would not like that, but that's what they did. And so once that happened, getting Malik Willis, this could be your next guy. It's possible. And if this is very much on the Titans coaches next year, O'Hara, Kelly, Downing, a great year of working with him, and also maybe figuring out how you need to change schematically to fit him. I mean, I think that's if this is the way you're going after next year, I think the offense is probably going to have to look different.
Chuck on the text line says, I want to be in the stands for the first two interceptions of the game at Tannehill just to hear the fans' reaction. So we've talked about this, like, the reaction to Tannehill anyway. Like, if, let's say, he comes out in the first home game and throws a couple of picks, what's it going to be like at Nissan Stadium? And now factor in you've drafted a quarterback as well. It's going to be – look, and the Titans can't think that way this year. I understand that in terms of being in the building. But fan base-wise, people are going to be just yelling for Malik Willis at every mistake that Tannehill makes this year. And there's not really anything any of us can do about that. That's going to be the way that it is. And I agree with you. Like, I don't think that Willis is going to be ready to play probably at any point this year would be my guess, but that's not going to stop the fan base from every time Tannehill makes a mistake, there are going to be a lot of people screaming for Malik Willis.
I want this totally understood, because I think people are – I don't know, man. I can't – like, you have to understand, like, Malik Willis, no matter where he went, like, everybody was talking about, like, basically – now, if he went to a terrible team, then fine, he'll play as a rookie. But other than that, it's a redshirt year, like most quarterbacks should have. Sometimes you can't have it, and in the rare occasions, you have, like, a Burrow who's ready to be really good. But most quarterbacks should have that year still, I believe. If Ryan Tannehill plays his way out of the lineup like Marcus Mariota did – in 2018, let's say in six games, the Titans quarterback will be Logan Woodside. I want this in big, bright letters and lights. It will be Logan Woodside. Okay.
I'm just telling you, J-Rob did not shut it down that Malik Willis could come in and compete for the starting job. I'm just saying, he didn't shut it down.
But that's right, because they will always say, we want competition. I'm not going to – hey, Hassan Haskins, come on in, compete. Who's the starter? I don't know. Derek, you better earn that starting job, Derek. Sure thing.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans draft on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, including a couple of picks that I found to be very, very interesting for the Titans. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, quickly, some breaking news in the NFL. I don't think this is a huge surprise, but Ian Rappaport putting it out there that the Saints are going to be signing Tyrann Mathieu. So that's kind of been in the works for a while now. He had a visit with the Saints a few weeks ago, and now that the draft is over, looks like Tyrann Mathieu going to end up with the Saints. That could be finalized and announced in the coming days, according to Rappaport. No details in terms of what the money looks like, but looks like Tyrann Mathieu going back to his hometown and will be playing for the New Orleans Saints. So not a huge surprise there.
Yep. That's a good signing. You know, one thing that brings to mind is, like, I still haven't, I don't know if you have, but like, I still haven't like really gone through like every team's draft and gotten a great sense for, you know, like I've read some coverage, our coverage at The Athletic, of, you know, winners and losers and things like that. By the way, Lindsey Jones had the Titans among the losers section, but and the quarterbacks too, as a whole. But I still, like, there's so much to, in fact, I think I'll pull that up. And not that I'm going to ignore you during the show, but maybe I can do some reading between wonderful takes.
You'll just zone out. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah, I zone out on the regular.
Ignoring me in the show is a regular everyday occurrence here on Robbie and Rex. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Liam texting in says, the preseason is going to be fascinating to see what Willis has to offer. If he isn't lost out there, I hope we have a quick hook on Tannehill to start the season. With a healthy Derrick Henry and solid defense, I'd rather take some lumps with Willis and maybe even get a high pick for next year to get a jump on the future. And I'm waiting for Joe's incredulous reaction to writing off next season already. This coming from Liam on the text line.
My God, Liam, please don't do this. Liam, you have a lot of reasonable, good conversation. No, you're not putting Malik Willis in early next year and then said, hey, what if we go 3-14 and get the number one pick, everybody? You're not, come on. Are you joking? You're joking, right?
I will say, to Liam's point, I am way more interested in the Titans preseason now than I was before. Infinitely more interested in the Titans preseason.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read from my Athletic piece today. Just as I was reading from Jared's, text. This is my lead today on my piece in the Titans. One thing about the 2022 Titans and their draft that no one's talking about is how much it has enhanced their preseason games outlook.
No, yeah.
I mean, I want to watch their preseason games now. I never want to watch preseason football. Preseason football is terrible. And, you know, the only thing about it that's good is this rookie or that rookie that you get to see a little bit, but even in a lot increasingly, like Treylon Burks, for example. I mean, he's going to get reps in the preseason.
Yep.
But is he going to get a ton of reps? I bet you he doesn't, because I bet you Vrabel's like, I'm not getting Treylon Burks hurt, you know, against the freaking Bengals or whatever in a preseason game. But Malik Willis is, I would assume we're going to see basically Malik Willis and Logan Woodside splitting games. And I am totally here for it, just to watch what that looks like. So the Titans have absolutely increased their preseason outlook in terms of the actual preseason.
What did you make of them taking Malik Willis? Because obviously I don't think any of us expected Willis to slide as far as he did. He's available there in the third round. The Titans move up a few picks to go get him. As you said, and as Corey pointed out, the reaction in the room when they got him was, they're pretty excited to get Malik Willis. What did you think of that decision by the Titans to grab Malik Willis where they did?
I mean, remember when they came back up a couple times after making the whole trade, it was like, Malik Willis is there.
I know.
Also, Desmond Ridder is there. Look, I agree with Corey. I mean, I look at it like as soon as you made the AJ trade, and some Titans fans hate this and want to be mad at me, that's fine. You pivoted from this be as good as possible around Tannehill. You just did. I mean, you and for whatever reason, whose fault, whose credit, that's what happened. So it just changed things. And you can make a case, you know, at that pick or staying at 90 and getting somebody else, you know, that's more of an instant help. But honestly, after the AJ Brown trade happened, to me, I don't mind it at all. I mean, it's a potential new era that you've picked up for at a fantastic value. And if a guy he was, you know, a first/second round grade. But that's just like all the quarterbacks in this class. So you get him at 86. I mean, and he does have elite traits or whatever you want to call it. He has special traits. The arm and the athleticism are tremendous.
Yeah.
Now, again, most first-round quarterbacks are busts. They're just flat-out busts. Most first-round quarterbacks don't work out. I don't have a percentage, but it's – most, and it's by a pretty long shot. Work out in the sense of if you take a quarterback that high, you're not just hoping to have a placeholder starter. You're hoping to find someone to be really good to great, right? So if someone's taking an 86, like you have to keep in your mind, like there's a really good chance here that Malik Willis doesn't figure out, doesn't become a really good starter in the NFL. I mean, that's why people are hesitant with him because I mean, the guy took 51 sacks last year, okay? Like, think about that. He played at Liberty. Think of the competition. Think of the decision-making that goes into that. Think of the work that's required to fix a lot of things. And, again, you can watch – you could put together the most tremendous, amazing, like, huddle, you know, like, you know, high school prospects put together their little huddle films for recruiters. You put that together from Malik Willis out of college, it's amazing. His arm talent and some of the – throws he makes and plays he makes, whoa. And you could put together one that would make you think, how could this guy even be the quarterback for any team? I mean, like seriously, like it's that extreme.
Joe Milton.
Well,
he runs way better than Joe Milton does, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be fascinating, but I don't hate it at all. I think that you already kind of signified that you're kind of looking beyond now. Not that you aren't trying to compete, not that you aren't trying to win. You're trying to win the division. You're trying to get in the tournament, make a run next year. And I'm not saying that's impossible, but a lot of things have to go your way and a lot of unknowns have to work out for you. And I worry probably most other than the absence of AJ Brown. I think the offensive line still is really a question mark. And if that's not good, what does that mean for Tannehill? But you still could be very good next year. But this was a pivot to thinking beyond that. And as a fan, I would not like that, but that's what they did. And so once that happened, getting Malik Willis, this could be your next guy. It's possible. And if this is very much on the Titans coaches next year, O'Hara, you know, Kelly, Downing, a great year of working with him and also maybe figuring out how you need to change schematically to fit him. I mean, I think that's if this is the way you're going after next year, I think the offense is probably going to have to look different.
Chuck on the text line says, I want to be in the stands for the first two interceptions of the game at Tannehill just to hear the fans' reaction. So we've talked about this, like the reaction to Tannehill anyway, like if, let's say he comes out in the first home game and throws a couple of picks. What's it going to be like at Nissan Stadium? And now factor in you've drafted a quarterback as well. It's going to be – look, and the Titans can't think that way this year. I understand that in terms of being in the building. But fan base-wise, people are going to be just yelling for Malik Willis at every mistake that Tannehill makes this year. And there's not really anything any of us can do about that. That's going to be the way that it is. And I agree with you. Like, I don't think that Willis is going to be ready to play probably at any point this year would be my guess, but that's not going to stop the fan base from every time Tannehill makes a mistake, there are going to be a lot of people screaming for Malik Willis.
I want this totally understood because I think people are I don't know, man. I can't, like, you have to understand, like, Malik Willis, no matter where he went, like, everybody was talking about, like, basically, now if he went to a terrible team, then fine, he'll play as a rookie. But other than that, it's a redshirt year, like most quarterbacks should have. Most quarterbacks, sometimes you can't have it, and in the rare occasions, you know, you have like a Burrow who's ready to be really good, but most quarterbacks should have that year still, I believe. If Ryan Tannehill plays his way out of the lineup like Marcus Mariota did in 2018, let's say in six games, the Titans quarterback will be Logan Woodside. I want this in big, bright letters and lights. It will be Logan Woodside, okay?
I'm just telling you, J-Rob did not shut it down that Malik Willis could come in and compete for the starting job. I'm just saying. He didn't shut it down.
That's right, because they will always say, we want competition. I'm not going to – hey, Hassan Haskins, come on in, compete. Who's the starter? I don't know. Derek, you better earn that starting job, Derek. Sure thing.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans draft on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, including a couple of picks that I found to be very, very interesting for the Titans. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3 as well. Hope you've been checking that out as well. Set that to your presets, 106.3 FM from downtown Nashville, down to Rutherford County and Murfreesboro, I-65 as well, down to Spring Hill. Check out 106.3 as well. Joe Rex Road, Big League Designs on YouTube says, real Titans fans know that J-Rob was okay parting with AJ because they have Mason Kinsey waiting in the wings. Winky face is coming from Big League Designs on YouTube. Maybe so.
It's about time we got to the heart of the matter here. Hey, man. Hey, you can laugh if you want, but that Mason Kinsey, Kyle Phillips battle in the slot, I'm ready. I'm here for it.
I'm ready for it. I got a texture that says, I don't think it's likely, but I think there's a chance Tannehill takes offense to all the recent social media criticism and the Malik Willis pick and plays out of his mind next year. This is coming from a texture on the text line. Maybe it is the Titans playing the long game here with Tannehill. Get a little motivation in there. You know, they saw the one-arm push-ups he did last year against the Dolphins for Miami week and said, how about that all the time? Let's just draft a quarterback.
Has Tannehill texted any of the new draftees yet? I haven't.
I don't know, but he did finally. He got on Twitter and started tweeting at him. Yeah.
Does that count? I guess that counts. Is there? Okay. All right.
Had internet working again.
I will say, I mean, it's not ideal. Like if your draftees are asked about the quarterback contacting you and they're like, no, but I'm excited to play with him. And then like the new quarterback coming in has texted them immediately. It's like, might want to throw a text out there. I don't know. Just thought, but hey, you know what? The Tannehill, we always want to make these parallels, and we got the Forsberg AJ Brown thing. Preds are up on the clock on that one still, by the way, but I do look at Tannehill, and I think a little bit about Johansson and Duchesne. Quite different in a lot of ways. But there was some people with the silly opinion. I won't name them. I've talked about some people enough already on the show today who were like, oh, they were left unprotected, and they're going to be mad and curl up in a ball and not play well. Well, actually, they responded quite well to that. Now, different situation. They had bad years all the way around, and their contracts looked like way overpaying by the club, and that's not the case with Tannehill, but he did completely blow a playoff game. And now they've taken away his best weapon. They've drafted his replacement. They haven't really improved the offensive line, at least not on paper. So how does he respond to all that? Oh, but also, by the way, the entire city of Nashville has turned him into public enemy number one. How does Ryan Tannehill respond?
I think that's a great question. Joe, there were a couple of picks. Well, number one, there are a lot of picks this year I found to be very interesting from the Titans, but a couple that we talked about with Corey a few segments ago, you take Roger McCreary at corner in the second round at number 35 overall when you've taken Caleb Farley in the first round last year, and then Petit Frere in the third round at offensive tackle when you're taking Dylan Raidens last year. So you're talking about a second-round pick and a third-round pick that were used by the Titans on positions where they went first round last year and second round last year. What did those picks tell you about how they view Caleb Farley and Dylan Raidens? Because we talked about that heading into the draft. We'd probably find out a lot about how they view Dylan Raidens based on how they draft on the offensive line. I didn't expect them to draft a cornerback until maybe like the third or fourth round, but they did in the second round when they acquired more picks. What did those two picks in particular tell you about Caleb Farley and Dylan Raidens as they move into this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I don't have an answer that I feel great about, you know, because you do have to consider just going for best available. Again, I think I like when John Robinson said that about Malik Willis, I mean, I think that's clearly true. I mean, if they were resolved to get him or another quarterback, they would have done it earlier, right? You know, they moved up four spots to get Willis, but that was when the opportunity presented itself. And so when I look at McCreary, at first I was surprised, but I mean, if that's your best player, that is still a spot you need depth, you need help. We've talked a lot about that, we're going to find out some about those guys, but how could the Titans know for sure? I mean, Vrabel said it over the weekend, like, you know, haven't gotten on the field yet. Like, you can know how rehab is going. You can know how things are going mentally. Vrabel had high praise for Farley, both in terms of healing and in terms of, I mean, like, whatever, one day he won the quiz. But he actually went out of his way to volunteer how well things are going for Farley in the pre-draft presser, right? So I can't look at McCreary and say, oh, so they just don't think Farley's going to play at all. I mean, I think it was always possible, if not likely, that at the beginning of the season, Farley wasn't going to be all the way ready. So now you got insurance there. You got competition there. I think Corey brought up a good point about leverage later down the road too, bringing him in this draft class, depending on how things are going with contracts with other corners. I mean,
going to trade Christian Fulton. Yeah.
As soon as he becomes a Pro Bowler, you know, but I think, like, I don't look at that as like a clear comment on Caleb Farley. With Raidens, we talked about the first round, right? If they go tackle right away, that to me said Raidens is not their starting tackle. They went where they went with Petit Frere, a guy who is said to be, I agree with Corey Curtis, you know, like, he's a super, like, impressive guy. I think he has all the measurables and everything to be a really good tackle in the NFL, probably projects as a right tackle long-term. I mean, you could look at him and say, could he be Lawan's replacement down the road? I mean, he did play left tackle at Ohio State, but I think he's probably a better right tackle. But where they took him, does that say for sure, like, they're out on Raidens? I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but I mean, I think it tells you that maybe they're not sold one way or the other. Like,
yeah.
We talked about this last week with Farley. Like, and Corey brought this up. I think it's a great point. Like, you can have a lot of confidence in Farley in his ability. I have no confidence that Caleb Farley is going to stay healthy because he hasn't stayed healthy. Like,
sure.
I just don't have any confidence in that. And that's why I had my corner. And when we went through our needs for the Titans, I had corner a little bit higher than most people last week, just because I don't trust Caleb Farley to stay healthy. So I don't know if that's like the specific reason that they got him. And maybe it's as simple as he was the best player left on the board. So that's what the Titans did there. But as we found out last year, and as Corey pointed out, cornerback's a position where you can never really have enough guys. And if Farley does work out this year, great. If Molden takes another step this year, great. And if Fulton plays as well as he played last year, you're in pretty darn good shape now with McCreary as maybe more of a rotational piece at that point.
Yeah, and whether it's Farley or someone else, someone's probably going to get hurt. So,
yeah,
like, you had, I think, some level of reliable depth with Screen, and you still do, Screen and Jackson. But, I like McCreary a lot as a player. I do. And so if you now are stabilized at cornerback – and deeper and better, that's the one area of that defense. And we haven't talked about Chance Campbell yet. They did pick an inside linebacker for all you mock drafters out there. You were right. I mean, you know, look, if he's a good fourth guy and be a special teams guy, and then he's there with Rice, then I think you have good depth everywhere now. Consider Tart and Naquan Jones both healthy. I mean, I think you have depth everywhere. The two places where you didn't were safety and corner, and you've, in theory, improved both. But yes, with the offensive line, it's tougher. Like, I don't know how to read it because I still, like, I had to put out a lineup today, my projected starting lineup. I put Raidens at starting right tackle. Some people laugh at that. Like, And maybe they're right. Maybe this is a clear comment, like that they want Petit Frere there and Radins. You go inside and see if you can beat out Aaron Brewer and Jamarco Jones at left guard. I don't know. I'll be really surprised if he doesn't get reps at right tackle. And I would think there'd be a competition between those two guys. The worry is, what if neither of them is ready to be any kind of right tackle for a, you know, starting right tackle for an NFL team this year? I mean, that's just a problem for that offense.
What do you think the odds would have been before heading into the draft that the Titans draft an inside linebacker and not a guard? What could you have got for those?
Very good point. My goodness. Yeah, I mean, that's – yeah, just positionally, the fact that they did not take a single interior lineman is – that would be the biggest surprise to me. And, again, that could feed into the people who think this means Radins is a guard, right? I mean, maybe that's – maybe that is how they're leaning. That they want Radins working there. He's better off there. And it's Petit Frere and who at right tackle? I think, man, is Dennis Kelly out there still?
He's still out there.
I mean, like, wouldn't they be wise to get him right now?
I think you could do a whole lot worse and it wouldn't cost you a whole lot of money. Joe, very quickly, we've talked about tight end. They go get a tight end in the draft this year. Okonkwo out of Maryland. What did you make of that pick? Round four, number 143 overall.
Yeah, my instant reaction to all the picks, that was my favorite one. And I guess I'm kind of warming to McCreary because I really like him as a player. But I like that pick a lot. And I do, you know, for those like, you know, like Chip and Mount Juliet who are claiming they're better offensively, I don't agree. Because A.J. Brown in the offensive line, but I definitely agree that they're better at tight end. And Hooper, you obviously hope for Atlanta era Hooper. Okonkwo, I think, could be really good. He is fast, athletic. He could be a really nice weapon in the years to come for the Titans.
We've got Darren McFarland coming up at 9:00. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators as they look ahead to the Colorado Avalanche. Coming up in round one. Coming up next, we'll look back at a wild day yesterday at Geodis Park with Nashville SC and a wild game between the Grizzlies and the Warriors in game one of the second round as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Joe, a very interesting day, fun day yesterday at Geodis Park for Nashville SC. They finally open up their stadium. First eight games of the season on the road and their home opener taking place yesterday in what really, just from all the pictures and everything on TV, looks like a cathedral out there. This is an awesome-looking stadium at Geodis Park. It looked great. The atmosphere was awesome yesterday at Geodis Park, and at the end of the day, it's a 1-1 draw between Philadelphia and Nashville SC, so would have probably preferred to get the win and the 3 points yesterday, but really other than that, I thought yesterday was a pretty great day for soccer here in this part of the country and certainly here in our city as well, and congratulations to Nashville SC. That park and that stadium looks pretty darn awesome.
Yeah, you know, you want to get the 3 points in the win, but I mean, first of all, like their goalie, holy cow, did he step up and ruin that idea? I mean, some incredible plays. But the celebration of the first goal in Geodis Park history, Leal, and an incredible day, incredible experience. Our guy Jason Fitz on the fiddle, you got to love that. And look, it's the place is just – fantastic. I think you could ask for a better stadium, you know, for an MLS club, and that place is going to be packed and rocking and a terrific option for people in this city for a long time.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's the largest soccer specific stadium in the United States right now, and you know, it's just a really cool environment yesterday, honestly. And we've heard from a couple of people today on the text line talking about the parking part of it. Honestly, I thought it would be way bigger of an issue than I think it has been. I think a lot of people did ride share yesterday. A lot of people maybe parked a little bit further out and walked, but I did not hear as much about the parking yesterday as I thought I would hear. I would assume that people actually bought concession stand food for the concession prices as well while they were at the stadium yesterday. So it seems like everything was okay on that part. But now you're Nashville SC, and we had Drake Hills on last week to talk about this too. You've got like the home opener out of the way and the festivities that go along with that, and it was great. And I think everybody that was there will remember that for as long as they live. But also, now you've got a home schedule coming up where there's an opportunity in front of you to collect a lot of points. So, I mean, we talked about it. They probably did a little bit better than most people expected. At least, you know, Drake was talking about Gary Smith saying if you could get 8 points in those first 8 games on the road, maybe you're in a decent spot. Well, they ended up with 11. You get another point yesterday, so you're at 12 right now. Now you've got an opportunity with a lot of home games to start to get some wins and to collect some points in the Western Conference.
Yeah, absolutely. They're in good position, and that's the benefit of starting out your season being all road, is you got a whole bunch of home coming up. So I think they're still on track to be a real dangerous team, a postseason team. You think about just the overall competitiveness. I mean, some of the great players. I mean, Mukhtar and Zimmerman. You're talking about stars for a franchise that just started out. This isn't quite Vegas Golden Knights levels of instant success, but it's pretty darn good, and that's exciting too. It's not just like a park opening for a so-so team. It's still a really good team.
Yep, and they get a big point yesterday. We'll see what they can do as they move forward here. Also, game one yesterday, Joe, of the Grizzlies and the Warriors. So the Grizzlies take care of business on Friday. They win in game six against Minnesota. And then a quick turnaround. You're coming right back home, and you're taking on Golden State in game one of the second round. And honestly, Joe, it feels to me, and I know it's only game one, so there's still plenty of time here, but yesterday feels to me like a pretty big missed opportunity for the Grizzlies. Draymond Green kicked out of the game for a flagrant 2 foul. And I know you have thoughts on that, which we'll get to here in just a second, but he's missing basically over half the game, and the Grizzlies can't take advantage of that. And Klay Thompson hits a big shot at the end of the game where they gave the Warriors like 4 straight looks at it. I thought Steph was going to hit it because he's wide open with that 3, and you don't see him miss that shot very often. And then eventually you just give him too many kicks at the can. Klay Thompson with a good pump fake hits the 3, and all of a sudden John Morant's got a chance to win the game at the end and just couldn't quite get it to go. So that's a pretty brutal loss in game one for Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, when you have Jaren Jackson having like the game of his life, obviously a very important defensive piece for them, guy you can go to here and there. But I mean, like that game, Golden State was about to take it over, and he just wouldn't let it happen because he just hit 3 after 3 in that stretch. When he plays like that, and you get Melton hitting big shots, and you have Draymond Green out of the game, you have to win it. Now, it doesn't. Like, I still think we're in store for a great series, but that's a very tough loss for the Grizzlies given those circumstances. Now, yes, I have thoughts on Draymond Green, the foul. It would be all anybody would be talking about today had the outcome been different. I imagine ESPN will still spend a lot of time on it, but I want to get your thoughts on Draymond Green being ejected for that.
Well, I thought it was certainly a flagrant 1. I don't think there's any question about that. Like, I heard some people talking yesterday, shouldn't it be a flagrant 1? I'm like, well, no, you're wrong. It should be a flagrant 1. I didn't think it should be a flagrant 2. Now, I also don't know that I buy that he was like totally trying to break the fall of the guy coming down either, but that is not a flagrant 2 foul in an NBA playoff game. And Draymond was talking about that after the game. Like, there is a little bit of a difference in intensity too come playoff time. And, you know, I think that's certainly what that boils down to. It's a Draymond Green call because he is who he is, and he's had his run-ins with the officials, and we know the Draymond is no stranger to technical fouls. Like, all these things add up. So if it's not Draymond Green, my guess is it's probably not a flagrant 2 yesterday, but I thought for sure a flagrant 1.
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, the slap, I think that was inadvertent. I mean, he's trying to not let him obviously finish at the rim. I mean, that's what he's trying to do. Now, but when you get a handful of jersey, I think he immediately, whether he was just worried about Clark or not, he was trying not to get a flagrant. He was trying to be like, okay, yeah, I'm not trying to like rip him to the ground and hurt him. Come on. You know, I mean, he knew instantly he was trying to avoid that. I mean, my guy Patrick Brown from Go Vols 24/7, who's a Memphian, is like, he wound up and clubbed him in the head. And then he, like, dude, please, please stop. It's a Draymond call. It's just, this is an incredible series. I think it's going to be. It's the biggest basketball game of the whole NBA season to that date. And as an officiating crew, you decided to just to have way too much influence on the game and make a call that I think it's just outrageously stupid. But
was that one of the greatest exits of the court I've seen of all time, though, from Draymond? I don't really know what he's doing there, but it was entertaining.
Yeah, that was kind of dumb too. I mean, I didn't really understand what he was doing there. It's like, okay, like, just aren't you mad? Like, go be mad, you know? And he's like, come on, everybody. But I did notice he had on the street clothes, and he had on the shades. He was right there at the edge of the tunnel when the Warriors came off the floor. Congratulate them. That's a huge win for them and a huge loss for the Grizzlies. But there are bad matchups both ways. It's just going to be, I think we're going to have more incredible games like that ahead.
And they let Ja shot the ball 31 times yesterday. He ends up with 34 points, 9 rebounds, 10 assists. So a stat line that we're accustomed to seeing from Ja Morant, but 14 of 31 from the field, including 4 of 11 from three. And look, I mean, they got, in a way, the look they wanted to get at the end of the game. You know, they back up Ja Morant from behind the half court line. And he gets a running start, and it was basically a handoff play. So when he gets a full head of steam to him, he's tough to stop going to the basket. But I thought Golden State defended that just about as well as you could. And then a couple of big blocks by Curry before that on Ja Morant.
Yeah, I think the biggest play of the game was Curry when he gets the switch. You don't want Curry on Ja Morant, but he got his hand on the ball twice on that drive, which is pretty amazing for Steph Curry to make a defensive play like that. The Clay three, and I love the play for Ja at the end, get him going downhill, but Klay Thompson was in the gap and just made it tough, and it was just a really hard finish for him. You know, maybe you could say try to go into Klay's body and try to get a call there, you know?
They're not making a call there.
But they're probably not going to give you the call, and you have to have an incredible amount of touch with your left hand to finish that. So, it was just tremendous basketball. I can't wait for game two, which, by the way, is at the same time as the Preds. Why can't the sports schedulers think of us?
I know. I wish they would be better on that front. Speaking of the Preds, we'll be joined coming up next by Darren McFarland of Darren Donica Chase. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds as they'll take on the Colorado Avalanche coming up in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.